Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
There's a new sheriff in town, and I have a feeling he's going to be perusing through the receipts to make sure we're getting value for money. Donald Trump today said, hey, we're going to cancel this order with Boeing. Boeing kind of shot back and say, wait a minute here. First of all, we're not quite sure if we have an order. And secondly, this isn't even the right figure you're quoting. There's probably truth between the two, right? But I'm going to tell you, and I've said this, the study of what's going to take place with Donald Trump over the next 4 years, to me, the most interesting thing, if we get nothing else out of it, if he can't bring back jobs like he's promised, that there's no wall being built as he's promised, if none of these things happen, I think the thing that he may do long term that helps us more than anything is he will expose the fraud, the waste, the absolute giant, huge cluster hump that is the United States government and the way that they do things. And to me, that may be the greatest thing that he can do for us as a country. I was reading yesterday, $125 billion from the State Department's just gone. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you lose $125 billion? How do you do that?
Did you look in the couch cushions?
Couch cushions may be it. You could look under there. Is it in your ashtray? Remember the ashtray? I used the word ashtray. But is it your car somewhere? The little change thing? $125 billion. $125 billion to the yen. Every year, we have those funny stories that come out where they talk about the crazy stuff in the pork, you know? And if you don't know what that is, I'll break it down for you. We have all these wacky bills and all these things that we give money to try to see, you know, does orangutan pee really get off bloodstains? You know, does, you know, can bees fly backwards? I mean, stupid things that we give $300,000 for, $1 million. It's insane. But I think what we're going to see with him, and again, if nothing else comes out of this, I think what we'll see with him is the fact that he is going to push, he's going to poke, he's going to prod, and he's going to ask questions about why. A movie came out about, I think it's got to be about 15 years ago, called Dave.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. If you've never seen the movie Dave, it's funny. What's his name who plays the character?
Yeah, that guy.
He plays this character and in this movie, and the president dies or goes has a heart attack, goes into a coma when he's having an affair on his first lady, who was played by Sigourney Weaver. And in so they,
Kevin
they
Klein.
Don't know, who is it?
Kevin Klein. It just, Kevin when you Klein. Said Sigourney Weaver, it came to me.
Yeah. Kevin Klein. And in the movie, Dave is this guy who works as he has like a staffing company, but he also works part-time, like opening up, like supermarkets, playing the president. So they go and they get him and they make him play president so they can figure out what they're going to do because they don't want this to get out to the people and the whole nine yards. And as he's doing this, he's starting to like being president. And he says, hey, I don't think we should close this thing. And they say, well, if you can find the money in the budget, you can keep it. So he gets Charles Grodin to come over, who's his buddy, and who's like just, he owns like an H&R Block accounting thing. And he comes over and he looks at the books and he says, who's doing these books? That's what we're going to find out here. Donald Trump, I think, is going to give us insight that we as the people have never had. He's going to give us insight to our version of Buckingham Palace. He's going to give us insight to our version of this you know, this giant castle and this city, right? You know, the Wizard's City. We're going to have a chance to see into this city, and he's going to lay stuff out. Boeing, for their part, came out and said, look, it's not even about that. But when you look at some of the stuff that we do, the amount of money we waste for how much we bring in, because everybody's got a pet, project every single place. It's a you go to Washington to figure out how you can mine money from Washington's federal budget and bring it back to your district. That's what you go and do. That's your job. You hire me, I'm going to go there to protect this, this, and this, when really what you're doing is I'm going to go there, do what I can to, A, get reelected, and B, to figure out how I can put stuff in on the back ends of stuff and then bring it back to my district so my people are happy. And that costs us all money. Every one of us is paying. No matter what we do, whether we go to the pump, whether we're filling out some paperwork for some for you know for something for the federal side of things, we have to pay an extra fee for this. Whether we're going from A to B and we have to everything is costing us money. You're flying somewhere, something attached to that. You're driving somewhere, something attached to that. We're gonna have a chance now to see how he looks in here. And here's the thing about him. He has no filter. We know that. And I have a feeling that the battles that are going to come with Donald Trump being president are going to be vigorous, they're going to be loud, and they're going to be front and center for all of us to see. Because I have no doubt in my mind he will absolutely call people on to the mat who screw up, who overspend, who ask for ridiculous things, who waste. Government waste is massive. Every single quarter, I look at the amount of money we bring in and how much we spend and overspend. I look at how much we do this, and I look at all of the waste that we do. How do you lose $125 billion? How do you do it? Now, he needs his own plane. And I'm talking about the train. He needs a plane. And the reason they have these planes are for a lot of reasons. One, you can run the country from the plane. There are safety things involved inside of this plane that aren't in your normal, average, everyday plane. But what he's saying is that only costs this much money. That shouldn't cost this much money. You're charging us $4 billion? When, no, that shouldn't cost this much money. No. And that's where it is, because government doesn't care. Because in the end, it's not what? Not their money. They don't care because it's not their money. If you have to gamble your money, you're careful. If somebody gives you money and says, go blow it and gamble it, you don't care. Because why? Because it's not your money. It's not your money. You drive a rental car like a bat out of hell. Why? Because it's not your car. That's the way that we are. If it's yours, you treat it in a much different way than if it's somebody else's. And that's what we're going to find out. How much waste? And that, to me, is going to be one of the biggest things that I think is going to come out of this. The waste, the time wasting, the infighting, the BS, the lies that were once, you know, thrown out to all of us there, who many people bought, we're going to find out how true they are or aren't. We're going to see how real this stuff is or isn't. And we're also going to find out, do you need this much money for these things or not? Again, it's not your money, so you don't care. There's a movie that just came out about 6 months ago called War Dogs, based on a true story of these two young guys. I think they were from Florida, Miami. One of them was like a yoga instructor. The other one was unemployed. They got like a $300 million government job to supply arms. They just threw a bid out there. How many of these blind bid jobs do you see where you just bid or you're the only one bidding, so you bid whatever you want to bid? I don't blame companies for doing it, right? Like, I would love to go to the radio companies and say, I want this much money. And they say, okay. That's not the way it is. Negotiation. I think what you're going to find is he is going to be tough on these people. He's going to look at stuff and go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm looking at all this stuff here. I'm looking at all of these things. I'm going to veto line item vetoes. We're just going to veto everything we possibly can because we don't need to be spending this much money. if all we get out of this next 4 years is a change in the way that we do things and the way that we handle our money, I think it's a victory for America. But I tell you what, I don't know if I'd want to negotiate with him, because I actually think he feels he's got a fiduciary responsibility to this country to actually do some stuff. And some of that's going to be cutting cost that should never have been there in the first place. Again, 1,500 toilets at $10,000 a piece. How many times? I will tell you, I see fleet cars that federal governments will buy and they will sit there for a year or two and never be used. Why? Because it's not their money. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Also call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Every single time, this time of the day, this hour, this moment, we do this thing called What's Next. Today, what's next with law enforcement? Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
We do it every single day. At this time, it's called What's Next. Today, what's next for law enforcement? Look, last couple years for law enforcement have been, well, they have been not so great, at least in the public eye, as well as in the fact that they've become targets for many people that have been angry, and they've been targeted. Saw what happened in Dallas. We've seen several other places right here locally where I'm from, not but 6 weeks ago. You had two officers who were shot dead serving a warrant. What's next for law enforcement with a president like Donald Trump who has talked over and over again about law and order as being one of his things? Law enforcement, let's be real here about law enforcement just for a second. Again, we can be both pro-law enforcement but also hold them accountable if things go down that are wrong. That's just human beings, right? We can look at somebody and say, you did a bad job. That was bad. What you did was wrong. And you can look at somebody at the same time and go, it's great. It's not an us versus them. We want our law enforcement to A, be good, right, and fair, and B, get home at night. You can want these things. It's not an us versus them. I think law enforcement has a friend in this White House, which I don't think they really had a huge friend with President Obama. Not that I think he wanted law enforcement to die or anything. Don't do anything and think anything stupid like that. But I think law enforcement has a friend in President Trump or President-elect Donald Trump. Yes, about law and order. Yes, about a lot of these things. But one thing, though, that has to change is perception. You have to change the game, meaning you have to paint a different picture now. You've got to find a way to bridge a giant gap that is happening between the people of color, minority communities, and law enforcement itself. There has to be a way that we as a country can fix these issues, and I think we can. Look, policing is a tough job. It is. I think more often than not, and you have to remember, a good majority of people who are police are males. I think a good majority of them struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder, doing the things that they do, seeing the things that they see, you would struggle too. And some people are able to handle it better and others aren't. There's going to have to be a way that we look at the way that we police this country. All colors, all religions, all races, all sexualities, all genders, that were A, fair, but B, we're still tough on crime. But we have to be real about certain things as well. The minority community has a right at times to be extremely pissed off at the way they're treated. I don't believe in white privilege. I do believe in white advantage. White advantage is I'm probably not going to get pulled over while driving white. That's a white advantage. There needs to be a changing of this. Policing is no longer what it used to be. Policing is a much different thing than it once was. You not only have to police, but for many ways, one of the most important things you're going to do, especially as a chief or somebody with inside the administration of police departments across the country, is you're going to first and foremost have to be a public relation whiz. We have to figure out a way to bridge the gap. I think law enforcement is going to have a much better ride here for the next 4 years with somebody like Donald Trump in power, because Donald Trump is a fan of law enforcement. And we should all be fans of the first responders, whether they're paramedics, fire, police, whatever they are. We all need to be fans of this because they're there to do what they can to protect, to serve, to make sure we're taken care of. But yes, sometimes they do overstep. And there is a perception problem within the minority community that in some ways, yes, is some reality, but not always. But we have to fix that. Law enforcement's about ready to have a good 4 years when it comes to the way things are happening as far as how they're treated, at least throughout this administration. But I'll tell you what, just because you're getting treated well by the administration or you have somebody who's a fan in your corner doesn't mean that you're going to get a free pass, especially when it comes to social media and things of that nature. What's next for law enforcement is going to be a bumpy ride at times, but I think as we start to discuss more and understand each other more and have, I think, more support from the top in a lot of ways, I think we can start to finally fix some of these problems. That's what I see what's next for law enforcement. The Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show. Love when you do. People texting in, talking about the waste of money. Yes, we waste a lot of money here. 323-538-2423. That's the text line. 323-538-2423. Kids, parents, social media.
The Chad Benson Show. Writing out the day's events. The river. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Social media. Spending, by the way. Newspapers, if you didn't already think that you were antiquated and no longer necessary whatsoever, why, you know, like we log on and I've got memberships to some of these things, but by and large, why would I want to pay for something I can get for free? It should be about the amount of, you know, people you see seeing your things. Social media, this is where like the entertainment industry has struggled for years, or the news industry, is because they wanted to find a way to make people pay for stuff that they can get for free. And it, you know, New York Times, LA, oh, you only get 5 free views a month. Fine, I'll go somewhere else and I'll find out that way. It's silly. But by 2020, social media spending will, for the first time ever, be above newspapers. And this is what's great. Advertising and social media between now and then is projected to grow by 20% a year. What do you think is happening in the newspaper industry? Have you seen it? When's the last time you had a newspaper in your hands? Exactly. By the time it's printed and lands on your doorstep, that news is old. We've moved on to something else. The only thing, if I was running a newspaper company right now, I would probably do it 2 days a week. I would have nothing but in-depth articles about people and opinion pieces, and I'd carry very little news. I would have articles about the news that are opinion kind of pieces or people within the news that you could really, you know, try to sink your teeth into and learn more about. But whatever news that you've printed for me, I got it 20 minutes ago. And by the way, that news that you have in your hand now that's printed, it's old news. It is. Parents, are we good or are we bad when it comes to social media? When I read this, I was not surprised. I was not surprised whatsoever. How much screen time and media time do you spend on average? I'm waiting to hear. This is what's scary. Daily screen time averaged out for parents. Parents! You, me, parents! 9 hours, 22 minutes. With the bulk of that, 7 hours and 43 minutes, categorized as personal screen time, the other roughly were categorized as work. Two-thirds of those surveyed, about 67%, said monitoring their children's devices with social media accounts is more important than allowing them privacy. Latino and Black parents expressed more concern about their kids' media use, but not by much. When it comes to Latino and Black, but when it comes to whites, very much so. 51% of whites had some worries about how much media their kids were using. For African Americans and for Latinos, it was 66 and 65. And this is where we talked about your kid needs to be on these things. It's amazing, though, right? Like, the funny thing is you read through this whole thing. And we're 9 hours and 22 minutes. Now, that's not all just, quote, unquote, your phone or your computer. It's screen time. They talk about television and this, that, and the other. But every one of us now, I'm totally guilty. I've got my tablet or my phone, and I'm texting or I'm reading an article, and I got my TV on at the same time. We're addicted. It is our crack. It is our crack. But we think as parents, oh, we're doing a great job. We're the worst role models. We're the absolute worst role models. But we think we're the best role models, and it's not. White parents average 6 hours and 30 minutes on personal media, with Latinos spending about 2.5 hours more, and African-American parents 4 hours more. The top concern among all parents about potential adverse media effects included the fear of children may become technology addicts. We are. That their physical activity will be affected. Absolutely. And that their face-to-face communication and sleep habits will both be hurt. About 34% worried about that. When it comes to kids' online activities, this is online. Parents worry about how much time is spent, 43%. How much personal information is shared, about 40%. And whether youngsters will be exposed to porn and violent images or videos or both. Well, that's going to happen. That's just the curiosity of human beings. It's funny, though, because parents talk about the number one is role modeling your own behavior so kids can learn from that. But we don't. We absolutely don't. We are the biggest liars when it comes to social media, when it comes to media in general. We stay up late and we watch TV. We watch TV in our rooms. We watch our phones. We watch our tablets. We have our Netflix. We have our Facebook. We have all of these things. We are the worst. I don't think it's bad. I just think this is the new world we live in. Right? I don't. If you wanted to go to bed at night and you wanted to read a book for 2 hours, we would be like, well, that's no big deal. That's good for you. But if I wanted to read an article on my tablet, somehow that's wrong? I don't think it's wrong. I think it's fine. This is just a new world. And this is the whole adapting and the fighting that we have going on. We talked about it earlier, the fighting between where we're going as a country, as a nation, how we're trying to get there, how jobs and lives have changed in so many ways. These are the things that matter. These kind of situations where, you know what, expose your kid to technology early and often. Give them the opportunity to embrace technology. Don't make it a scary situation. Instead, say, it's amazing. Yes, but as a parent, though, This is where the responsibility comes in. It's good to monitor your kids. It's good to know what your kids are doing. My mother has zero, like she still struggles at the ATM. Like that's technology gone awry for her. Like what happened? My aunt kind of has a Facebook. I've got the six little brothers and sisters, of which three of them are on social media. I'm on all their social media. I monitor their social media. When my little sister posts something that I do not like, I chime up and say, take that down. I do not like that. You're 16 years old, and you shouldn't post something like that. My 20-year-old sister, I don't really say much to her, but she's smart enough and has had the responsibility enough to do those things. My little brother, he's on social media, but he's just, all he cares about is ice hockey, so it doesn't really matter. But for my 16-year-old little sister, there is the responsibility in us that I follow through to look at her things. I'm on her Instagram. I'm on her Pinterest. I want to know what she's up to. And here's the thing, kids. By the way, parents, if you don't know this, your kids no longer have Facebook. They don't care. You know why? Because you're there. The minute you got a Facebook page, your kid went to the next best thing. The minute you get an Instagram page, they're going to go to something else, right? They're going to go Vine. They're going to go, they don't Twitter like we do. They follow, but they don't. But they go Instagram and they go all of these other things that they like to do. And you've got to, that's why Snapchat, things like that. You've got to know. You have to know what's there. This is where the responsibility comes in. I don't think people understand that. But we as parents, I look at this and I say, okay, that's fine. I don't care that we spend 9.5 hours on media during the day, but we're losing touch with people. This is just the way it's going to be. Stop fighting it. Do you remember when the internet came around and the fight that you got? Well, newspapers, I knew internet, that's never going to take off. And then when it did, they're like, oh, it'll never change anything. And then when it started to change stuff, by the time they figured out it was here, it had already blown past them and there was no chance for them to catch up rather than embrace it. That's why I tell parents and I tell myself and I tell Jack's mom, embrace it. Give it to him. I want technology to be a huge part of his life. I want media to be a big part of his life. I want him to have an understanding of how to do it responsibly. But I also want him to understand all the good things that come with it. And the fact is we're addicted to it as much as they are. The difference is we've grown up in a time when we used to go play outside. We used to ride our bikes outside. We didn't have play dates. We just went and played with our friends. That's how we grew up. And we think, well, we want to find that good balance. Kids, I have news for you. There's no good balance now. This is more entertaining than riding your bikes with pals. Video games are more entertaining than riding your bikes with pals. This is the world we live in now. So we can either embrace it or we can run away from it. As for me, I choose to embrace. Get your kids in front of all the technology they can handle. It will benefit them in the future, and they'll come to you or at least shoot you an email and say, Mom, Dad, thanks so much for doing me a solid. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Phil, what do you spend? Honestly, what do you think you spend in front of a screen all day? I'm trying to figure that out myself.
A good 23 and a half hours.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself today, from the time I wake up about 4:30 in the morning and start working on the show, to the time I come in and work on the show, to the time I do the show, I've got a screen and I've got a TV in front of me, and I'll go home tonight, watch a little TV and play around. I probably would say at the 18 hours I'm awake, I spent 17 and a half hours probably on some sort of electronic device.
Sounds about right.
I think it's a fair assessment. In fact, these numbers may be low. I don't know. You can text the show 323-538-2423. Say, what? A bride dies. An apology to an amazing band. And they're having issues in Japan. And if you're a single man or woman and you're looking for somebody, you might want to go there and give it a shot. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Phil, get it ready. These guys were upset and they were pissed last week when a Vancouver area police department said that on the way to jail for drunk driving, not only you'd be forced to be in the back of the car, chained up, you'll be forced to listen to Nickelback.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Chief Constable Rob Hartland of the Kensington Police said he didn't carefully consider his actions when he came up with this genius plan. Our post became an international story, and there, somewhere in the noise, the message of don't drink and drive was totally overshadowed by the negativity towards the band. And I said I would play it if you did. I've apologized to the band as we spoke. I found out some wonderful news. They feel just as strongly about not drinking and driving, so we thought, though, it was best to take down the original post there. You know what I'm saying? So, sorry about that there, you know, Nickelback. You guys are pretty good guys there for going along. You know, that was a really good thing. They were pissed. Nickelback was genuinely upset that, laugh, you have $60 million. You were married to Avril Lavigne. And if you played a concert tonight, you'd still probably put 15 or 20,000 people. So who cares, right? Embrace the fact that everybody in the world thinks you suck. And in truth, a good majority of it's not warranted. Like, there's a lot. We did the Grammys last hour. I mean, the good majority of that stuff sucked. Quack, 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 quack. I'll take Nickelback over. Quack, 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 every day. I'll take that Nickelback over that. Not that I think it's a horrible song. I think Rihanna's talented. By talented, I mean she's hot. But, Chad, you were such a jerk. Sexist pig. I'm just saying. You know? Like, to me, that's punishment right there. Work, 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 work. Work, 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 work. Groom waiting for his bride on their wedding day. Waiting there. For his bride. Where is my bride? He waits and he waits. Only to be told at the altar she did not leave him for another man. She indeed died in the helicopter that she had chartered to take her and surprise him. Rosemary Don Namaciento Silva, 32, had planned to surprise her fiancé, Erdley Damasiano, and the 300 guests by swooping into the reception in a rural area of the outskirts of São Paulo in Brazil. But in a horrendous twist of fate, the aircraft crashed en route to the venue, killing the bride-to-be, her brother, the pilot, and a photographer who was also pregnant, by the way. He waited at the altar with his fans and with his friends and family when he was told that the bride had died. That is... wow. Imagine that. That's say, what? That's what I would say. What? They said nobody knew how to act. It was tragic. He was in complete shock. They said the visibility was bad. There was rain. There was fog. And the chances are they probably hit a tree. That is not a good way to start your marriage. I just got a dirty look from Anthony over there going, oh, my God. Chad, you're just... hey, if you're single and you're thinking, I can't find anybody here in America, stand in line. Japanese has a problem. The Japanese people are having a big problem. Sex has become a big problem with the Japanese. In fact, many people over there just giving up on dating. Get ready for this. A government survey found that 69% of Japanese men and 59% of women do not have a romantic partner. 70% of men and 60% of women, think about that, don't have a partner, which is unbalanced, but whatever. They don't have a partner. It's crazy over there. In fact, the country is struggling with one of the lowest birth rates in the world, with just about 8 children being born per 1,000 inhabitants over the last 5 years. Its population by 2060 will go from 127 million at this rate down to 87 million people. That's crazy. Say, what? So if you're looking for something, if you're looking to meet somebody and you're sick and tired of it, and one of the big things is because they said they don't know how to date. Japanese people don't know how to date. It used to be the old way, which is mother and father would kind of choose a bride for you. This generation that's my age and younger struggles to date. So go on over there and teach them. What's up, baby? How you doing? What's up? How you doing? Like, that's awesome. How you doing? Speaking of how you doing, his name is Gashi Ram. He's a little bit crazy and a little bit Van Gogh. And by that, I mean, he's 37 years old. He's been married for way too long to this lady, 18 years. She's 34. They haven't had sex in 10 years. Gashi was so sexually frustrated, he went Van Gogh on his private. He said, after 10 years of rejection, I'm done. He ran into the kitchen, sliced off his manhood with a kitchen knife before collapsing to the floor. Panicked neighbors called the village doctor in Pradesh. It's not known whether or not his genitals were able to be reattached. Well, by the sounds of it, it doesn't really matter. Chad, you're a jerk. The Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, at Chad Benson Show. Facebook, CHADBENSON. Text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. I have never in my life would ever think about doing that.
Nope, can't say I would either.
There are plenty of fish in the sea, especially India. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.